There's also the problem that Christopher Tolkien later acknowledges of how to understand the Silmarillion as a collection of work. What Christopher Tolkien did was try to take the best versions, that is, the most completed or most finished versions of each of the legends or stories that made up the Silmarillion, and he pulled them all together into one volume. But the problem with this is that oftentimes the ones he used were not Tolkien's latest ones, because Tolkien was a fanatical and somewhat disorganized reviser. He'd write up a manuscript, he'd give it to someone to read, and then he'd get another copy from someone else that he had loaned to read, and he'd revise that one differently than he revised the first. Then the first one would come back, and he'd revise that in a third way. And so what you ended up, poor Christopher Tolkien, was an enormous volume of paper, an enormous volume of stories that didn't all agree with each other. When Christopher Tolkien put together the Silmarillion, he tried to make everything agree. But in doing so, he had to change a lot of things and leave a lot of things out. He himself then came to doubt this process and decided instead that he should pretty much release the raw material, just edited for clarity and spelling and so forth. And so he then released the 12-volume History of Middle-earth series, and very few people except the most hardcore Tolkien aficionados read those books, because some of them are actually, I would say, unreadable, in the sense that Christopher Tolkien will give a variant passage. He'll say, well, this was the original draft of the chapter The Shadow of the Past in The Lord of the Rings, and then he'll just stop in the middle of a paragraph and say, from here on, it's exactly like the published version. So the only way to really read some of those books is to have your Lord of the Rings or your Silmarillion in your right hand and your History of Middle-earth in your left hand, and I have to say, very, very few readers have done that. In fact, what most readers who do deal with the history of Middle-earth do is they mine it for information rather than seeing it as a connected whole. Now, this may be a mistake, because it's possible that the reason that Tolkien was never able to finish the Silmarillion in his life is because the way he viewed the Silmarillion was a continuing and evolving creation, a development of more and more stories, some of which would clash with other stories, some of which might be different variants. In other words, he was creating a medieval archive, the kind of thing that you would get if you went into a medieval library that hadn't been destroyed by Henry VIII and tried to piece together all the different conflicting information there in the historical materials, in the chronicles, in the annals, in poetry, in stories, and then tried to make sense of it. I mean, medieval materials, they often do clash with each other. They give different dates. They say different people did different things. They say one side won a battle, another version said another side won a battle. And Tolkien ended up creating that. A Hungarian scholar named Gergely Nagy has figured out that what Tolkien has created in the Silmarillion and the Lord of the Rings seems so much like myth to so many people, exactly because it has those contradictions, dead ends, and mistakes. He calls it a great chain of reading, and he points out that the feeling we get from things like the Greek myths or the fragments of Old Norse mythology, or even the tiny bits we can piece together of Anglo-Saxon myth, the feeling we get when reading it, the aesthetic sense that these materials create, comes from the fact that they seem to be based on a long chain of different people reading and revising and adding and manipulating, and that there are bits that stay in there, bits of language, turns of phrase that seem to be very, very old, so old sometimes we don't know how to make sense of them.